have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Your face, Lord. Hi, this is Apostle Dawn Westbrook. Join me on Shabbat Saturday here at Elation Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we Shabbat the Lord and declare the word of the Lord over your life for this hour. Shalom.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love that song. Amen. Lord, change my heart. Hallelujah. And I think that is so important now. Thank you so much for the applause. And thank you to our producer, Dr. Robinson. The Lord bless you, woman of God, for your just your persistence and your consistency and your love for the kingdom. Well, listen, people of God, this is Shabbat Saturday, and I am Apostle Dawn. I want to say welcome and thank you so much for being here with us. You had other things you could have done, but I believe it is the wooing of the Holy Spirit that has drawn you here on today, this afternoon. So we thank the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. We thank the Lord for this platform and this opportunity. Did you know that the reason why we call it Shabbat Saturday is because we believe we were created to worship and to praise our Father? It says it right in the Word of God in Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. We were created to worship the Lord, to praise him, to exalt his name, to acknowledge his greatness and his sovereignty. He is God Almighty. He is Elohim, my God today. He is our Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sitkenu, Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. He said that we were created to worship him and to praise him. Well, listen, that is what we do, and we are not embarrassed or ashamed of it in the name of Jesus. So this is your host of Shabbat Saturday. I am Apostle Dawn, and that's what we do each and every Saturday that we come here. And I want to say thank you again for tuning in on this very special Shabbat Saturday because of our featured guest, Prophet Michael Crawford. Amen. Glory to God. Powerful man of God. Oh, he is an oracle in this hour, and he is part of Maintaining Anointing Deliverance Ministries Incorporated with Prophet Ken Jackson. The dynamic duo is what I call them. Amen. But I bless the Lord for him taking time out of his busy schedule to be here with us on today. Well, people of God, I don't think it need me to say it, but you can see because of the signs of the times, there is such a great shaking going on in the heavenly realms. And we, you and I, have been given the authority to speak and say something. We need to be speaking the word only in this hour. So we have come in this hour, this time that we've been so graciously allotted, to bless and Shabbat, our awesome God, and to encourage you that are listening and you that will be listening on the replay, because today, this is the day. Today, this is the day that the Lord has created and has made and has given you, hallelujah, another opportunity to worship him, to open your mouth and to exalt his name, and also to declare and decree the mind of the Spirit of God. And so we are rejoicing and we are glad in it. And by George, you should be too in Jesus' name. So glory to God. Our anointed and certainly appointed prophet, Michael Crawford, man of God, God bless you.
Amen. Good evening. God bless
good
you, Apostle
Good evening.
Westbrook.
Bless you, man of God, for being here with us. We thank the Lord for you, and we thank the Lord for what he is going to do through you here on Shabbat Saturday. Truly, we bless the Lord for you. Man of God, I want you to just take liberty right now as your mic is open to release, man of God, Shabbat the Lord and release what the Spirit of the Lord has given you today for his people. The mic is yours.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that, Apostle Westbrook. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank you for just allowing me an opportunity to share what the Lord has given me. And what I want to talk about, just you'll have to excuse me. My wife and I are both getting over having COVID, kind of messed up all of our plans. But God's plans are greater than our plans. So excuse me for the coughing periodically. We thought that we were going to be completely over it by today, but tests say otherwise right now. But what I'd like to talk about just for a little bit is what are you willing to sow? What are you willing to sow? We know that the Bible very clearly talks about sowing and reaping, that there's a time to sow and a time to reap. And we know for those of us that believe the word, that the more you sow, the more you'll reap. And sowing is not always just about finances. Sowing can be about your time. Sowing can be about your commitment, your dedication. So what I'd like to talk about for a little bit today is what are you willing to sow? And I want to come from 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 8. It says, "And it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother. He sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And I want to stop right there because I want to go back The beginning part of this story. Elisha had been coming to this area off and on for a while, according to this story. And this woman had kept seeing him. And she finally asked him to come in and sit down and break bread with them. And every time that Elisha would come, she's asking him to come in. she's giving him this place that he can come dwell at. But then it says, and she said in verse 9, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him. And that's where I want to stop, because this is where the seed starts coming in. What are you willing to sow? And yes, there was money or a monetary seed being sown, because they had to acquire the things that they needed to build this room or this chamber for him. But then there's four specific things that the Bible says that she made sure got placed in there. And you have to read and understand the order to which these are listed, because there's a significance behind that. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10 says, and let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, or in today's terms, a lamp. A bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. So they're providing him a place of his own now. So it's not just that he can come sit down and fellowship with them. They're giving him his own place, his own area that he can come rest, that he can come seek the Lord, that he can come hear from the Lord and do what needs to be done. And while they're doing that, she has positioned herself now to be able to receive not just from the Lord, but to receive even from this servant. So my question or my challenge to everyone that's on this line, and to those that would even dial back in and listen to the replay, is what seed are you sowing? What are you willing to do to get what it is that you need? She wasn't doing this because she asked for anything specific. She wasn't doing this because she said that she needed anything specific. She was doing this, I believe, out of the kindness and the goodness of her heart to be able to sow into this man of God, to pour into him, knowing that if she would sow this seed, so to speak, that she's going to position herself, her and her husband, by their obedience, that they're going to position themselves to be able to receive something even greater. The seed that they're sowing is they're sowing of their own place. They're sowing of what they have, but they're also sowing of what they see his need is, that he needs somewhere that he can just come and get away. And even in today's society, and Apostle Westbrook has probably heard me say this time and time again with Prophet Ken, but one of the things that I have discovered in today's society is we live in a microwave society. We want everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. And when you get to a point and you're walking with God, and unfortunately God doesn't do things in a microwave society. God doesn't do things like Burger King. He doesn't always give it to us our way. We can place the order. We can put in our request. We can make our petition known. But what happens when we do that, many times, then becomes a question of where's your heart really at? Is your heart in the right place? Are you doing it with the right motives? And many, many years ago, my wife and I got connected with an individual when we still lived in New Orleans that wrote a prophetic song. Song very simply said, being in the right place at the right time with the right motives in your heart releases God's glory. Let me say that again. Being in the right place at the right time with the right motives in your heart releases God's glory. And even in this story, this Shunammite woman recognizes and she perceives that this is a holy man of God. But then she goes to her husband and says to her husband, let us make him a chamber. Let's make him a room. Let's build him his own place. And the husband doesn't question it. The husband doesn't try to second guess it. The husband is in total agreement with what she is saying. Because had there been any disagreement, had there been any discord in there, had there been any question of the two of them not being completely in agreement and complete alignment with this, not only would this not have happened, but it would have and could have jeopardized everything that was going to happen afterward. But they build in this room and they place these four items. They make sure that these four things are in there. And then Elisha starts asking, well, what is it that you want? What can I do for you because of your generosity, because of what you have done for us? Now I'd like to give back. I'm paraphrasing this, but she's basically telling him, I don't really need anything. But then his servant, Gehazi, says that she wants a son, but she doesn't have one. And Elisha has Gehazi call her, and he gives her this word that at about this time that you shall have a son. And she turns around and says, no, don't say that. And I want to find so down in verse 14, and when he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Elisha, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God. So she's identifying that he is a man of God. Do not lie unto thine handmaid. And verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. So she now has this child of promise. But sometime later in verse 18, and when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up, excuse me, and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And I want to stop right there because this is, to me, is where it's not just key, but this is where the whole shift starts taking place. Because not only has she now had the son of promise because of the seed that they have sown, because of them giving and pouring into this man of God by providing him his own shelter, by providing him this chamber, this room for him, that he now can release unto her and her husband that, yes, you will have a child, and you will have him in this season. and she has the child, and sometime later, the child gets sick and dies, and she takes her child, her promise, and takes him and goes into the chamber that they made for Elisha. You had to look at the significance of where she's putting this child, and that they created this room or this chamber, her and her husband, because of their obedience, that they have this chamber made for this man of God, for him to be able to do and to have this place to rest. And she takes her son of promise, and she takes him into this chamber and lays him on the bed. The bed, this seed. She lays her promise on the seed that she had been sowing. And I know some of you may be thinking, or you may be saying to yourself, well, how can you call that bed the seed? Because they had to sow, they had to put these items, and they were very specific. It doesn't say that they lavished the room with all this stuff. It says that there's only four specific things that's mentioned that went into there. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 10. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. A bed, a table, stool, and a candlestick, or a lamp. Those are the four things that it talks about, that it lists by name, that it identifies as being the seed that they are sowing into him. They may not physically be giving it to him, but they are giving it to him by way of, here's this room, here's this chamber that has been made for you, for you to get the rest, for you to hear from God, for you to be able to spend that quality time that you need, that uninterrupted time. But in a microwave society, do we have that same ability today? Do you have that place that you can just get alone, that you can get by yourself, that when you need something from God, that you can go into that secret place and shut the door, and you can make your petition known? And do you have that place? And if you do, are you entering into it with the right heart? Are you entering into it with a heart set before him so that you can hear and receive what thus says the Lord? Or are you so consumed with what's going on social media? Are you so consumed with what your best friend says? Are you so consumed with this text message that just came out? Are you so consumed with all of the news and all of the issues going on? And who's saying what? And I believe that if I could just connect with this, and what the Lord is saying is, could you or would you just connect with me? Elisha needed this place for him to be able to get what God had for him, for him to be able to release what needed to be released. And this Shunammite woman and her husband sowed, and they put this seed out there, not with any expectations of what would happen, but they sowed this seed. And how many of us have sown a seed, but we've sown a seed that had limits attached to it? Well, I'm willing to do this if I can get. Well, I give this if. How can you put an if on us? We serve a God that will meet every need far above what we could ever ask or want from him. One of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 32, verses 26 and 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah again, saying, is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard for God? But when we start putting limitations on the seed that we're sowing, well, I'm willing to give this. I'm willing to go do this. I'm willing to come clean the church. I'm willing to come help set up. I'm willing only if. And I can tell you from my own experience, before I ever met my wife, I spent a year and a half, almost 2 years, living in the church that I was a part of at that time. And it's because that's what the Lord had instructed me to do. And I went and met with the leaders of the church and sat down and explained to them what I wanted to do, what I was being led to do, what I felt that the Lord had impressed upon me to do, not just for me, but for that ministry at that time. And they were in complete agreement with it. They allowed me to be able to live in the church. I took care of doing all the setup, preparing for all the services, doing all the preparation for anything that would happen for our services, our conferences, for meetings, whatever. And I did it as the Lord would instruct me to do it. At different times, the Lord would wake me up at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and have me just go through and anoint all the chairs. If we were doing a baptismal, I remember there were times where for days the Lord would just wake me up in the middle of the night at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, go scrub the baptismal, go wash it down, go anoint the baptismal, go do this. And in my mind, I'm like, Lord, that makes no sense. But at your word, I'm willing to go do this. And I would get up and I would do it. And I would do it with a good heart. And I would do it while singing praises to him. And then when it finally came the day of the baptismal, I'd have the baptismal filled up. The baptism would happen, and the Spirit of God would just fall in that place. And I'd see lives changed. And I never boasted about it. I never bragged about what I had been doing. Many times people had no idea. Nobody asked how the church ever got clean. No one asked, you know, who was doing all of this, setting up, preparing for everything. But I'm saying all that because the seed that you're sowing has to come with your heart being set in the right place. You can't just sow a seed any old way and think that God is going to not just meet that need, but that God will reward you for the seed that you've sown, because he's looking at the intent of the heart behind that seed being sown. And if you don't have the right motives in your heart, if your heart isn't set in the right place, if your heart isn't after the right things, if your heart isn't pure before him, the seed that you're sowing, you might as well take that seed and just throw it away. Yes, you may reap some benefit from it, but you'll never receive the fullness of the benefit that comes with it, because it's the intent of the heart behind it that God is looking at. And this story, keep going in this story. Yes, this child has died, but she's taken her child, her promise, and laid him on the bed of the man of God in the chamber that they prepared. That's where she placed this child. She didn't put the child anywhere. She didn't put the child on its bed. She didn't put the child on her bed. Why would she take the child? And I've asked myself this question. I haven't come up with the answer yet, but I've asked myself this question. Why would she take her child and lay him on the man of God's bed and put him in his room or his chamber. And I believe part of the reason that she did that is because she realized and she recognized the amount of power and the level of anointing that was in that room because of her obedience to do what they had done and sowing this seed into him and blessing the man of God with this chamber or with this room, that he now has this place that he can come seek the Lord and he can come hear from God, and God is meeting him in that place. And because now this chamber or this room has become this meeting place, this dwelling place for the man of God and God to dwell together, that now all of a sudden she's laid her son, her seed of promise in there. But then the story goes on, and I'm not going to read all of it, but then the story goes on that she goes out and goes to find this man of God. And she tells him, as he's asking her, is everything okay? All is well. All is well. She never, and I'm paraphrasing some of this, but she asked him, you know, is everything fine with your son? Is everything fine with you? All is well. And Elisha perceives that there's something wrong. And he gives instruction to Gehazi. And then Elisha finally comes there. And Elisha goes in and lays himself upon the child on the bed that she had prepared for. And Elisha calls the life, calls breath back into her son. Because she placed this seed, because she sowed the seed of building this chamber, building this room for this man of God, and placing in there the bed, the table, the stool, and a candlestick or a lamp. She's put these items in this room, in this chamber that her and her husband have prepared. She's received a word from the man of God. She's conceived and given birth to this son of promise. And then her son of promise, her child of promise now has died. And she takes that child and lays him on the bed in the chamber that they prepared. And then goes out and goes to find the man of God. And she tells him, all is well. All is well. Well, it's not well. Your child has died. But you won't even acknowledge that to the man of God. Many of us, when our issues come up, use the issue, use that situation as an excuse as to why we can't spend more time in the Word, why we can't spend time seeking God, why I can't spend time doing what I have been instructed to do. When the instructions have been given, you've had the opportunity, but you haven't made the most of it. And now this situation has come up. For me, I can look back, and I can say this, and my wife could attest to it, but for us, just this past week, we had all these plans. We were supposed to be traveling and going on vacation and going to take care of some things. But unfortunately, we both tested positive. We canceled our vacation, canceled the reservations, changed all of our plans, stay here, do the best that we can, doctoring ourselves up, taking the medicine, trying to take care of ourselves to get over this so that we're not spreading it and so that we're not going out and sharing with anybody else. But we haven't used this as an opportunity to slow down. My wife can vouch for the fact, even though I haven't been out working every day, I have still been working because I'm the supervisor. I'm the boss on the job. So I have to do what needs to get done. And I've still been doing it. And God has been blessing. And God has given me the strength. He's given me the grace to be able to keep doing what needs to be done. But the seed that is being sown, the seed that has been released, is that seed being sown with your heart in the right place? Do you have the right motives in your heart? Is your intent right in sowing that seed? Or did you attach limitations to it? And some of those limitations come even without us actually saying anything. Because, yes, the Lord already knows the intent of your heart. And if the intent of your heart isn't in the right place, you can sow the seed. But God already knows that your heart isn't really there for that seed being sown and for you to be able to receive and to reap the benefit of that seed. This woman sowed, and she sowed to the point her child of promise is dead. She's taken that child of promise and laid him on the bed in the chamber that she prepared, and then goes out and goes to find Elisha, and then tells Elisha, all is well. You don't need to worry about anything. All is well. When in her heart had to have been hurting because her child of promise has died. And Elisha recognizes that without saying anything. He perceives or he can discern that there's something wrong. And he comes and calls the life, calls breath back into this child. What seed are you sowing? Is your heart in the right place? Is your seed being sown with any limitations, any restrictions attached to it, or are you sowing the seed out of the goodness and out of the abundance of your heart? I want you to think about that as you reflect on what you have been sowing and even what you will sow going forward. Make sure, please make sure that your heart is in the right place as you're sowing the seed. Apostle Westbrook, I turn it back in your hands. Apostle Westbrook? Apostle Westbrook, are you still there? Yeah, man, I don't know what happened to Apostle Westbrook. But I pray that this word has touched you. I pray that it will help to get you and make sure that you are staying and that you are checking yourself even before you make a decision as far as what seed you're going to sow.
Hallelujah.
And before you make a move, make sure that you check yourself. Make sure that your heart is in the right place. Because the heart is the focus. It's the key to this whole thing. Because if your heart is not in the right place, if your heart is not after the right motives, if you do not have the right intent in your heart behind what you're doing, you are playing with fire, so to speak. And what you will do and what can happen by the seed that you will release. Please, 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 I can't say this enough. Please make sure that your heart is in the right place and what you do before you sow any seed. And please, for your benefit, do not put limitations on the seed that you're sowing. Do not put restrictions on it. Well, I'm willing to sow this if, no, please don't say that. Don't even think that. Sow the seed. Release the seed. Let the seed be watered, and then you reap the benefit, and you reap the blessing that comes from that seed that you have sown. Father, I just pray, God, for those that are listening, those that are on the line, even those that would call back in and just listen to this call. Father, that they have heard a word that will help them to make sure of where their heart is and what their motives are and what they're doing. Father, and I pray right now, God, that you would not just meet the people where they are, but God, that you would reward the people for their obedience, for their instructions, for them following out the instruction that you have given them, and for them making sure that their heart is in the right place. Father, I thank you for that. Father, I pray that you would just continue to heal and to restore strength to my wife and I as we continue on this road of recovery, this road of restoration, this road of you giving back unto us. Father, and even as we have this, God, I pray that we don't waste this time, but Father, that we make the most of the time that we have to be able to hear and to receive from you, to reap the benefit of us having this quality time to spend in your word and to spend in your presence. And Father, I pray for every individual, for every household that is on this line, every household that will dial in and listen to the playback. Father, I pray that they would find the seed that they're going to sow. And Father, that they will release that seed with the right heart today. Father, and I thank you for it. Father, I just pray that you will not just meet the need, but God, that you will go above and beyond. Father, whatever it is that the people stand in need of, whether they need a healing, whether they need that physical touch from you, Father, whether they need instructions, whether they need direction, whether they need clarity of what the instruction is, clarity of what their assignment is. Father, maybe they just need peace in their mind and peace in their spirit. Father, I pray that whatever it is that they stand in need of, that you will give them that and then some this morning or this afternoon. Father, and I thank you for what you're doing. Father, I give you the glory and the honor. I ask all these things in the only name that matters in heaven and earth. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much, Prophet Michael Crawford, for that word that was poured into the room and for the prayer in the name of Jesus. And Father God, in Jesus' name, I thank you that now we stand in the gap for the man of God and for his wife. Father God, I thank you that we shut the gates now on the spirit of infirmity in the name of Jesus, as we commit them, Lord God, into your hands, we declare that they are healed in their bodies, in their hearts, Lord God, in their minds right now, body line up with the word of God. Father, I thank you that heaven is now responding in the name of Jesus because of his obedience, of pressing his way through in the name of Jesus and being now here on this platform as he has poured out to your people. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing him because of his obedience in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord God, we ask for divine intervention in the name of Jesus. You are a faithful God, and we thank you for your word that does not return to you void, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for giving him the peace of God that mantles him, hallelujah, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, and we bind up every interruption, every spirit of intimidation or fear that will try to come upon them. Lord God, I thank you that this too shall pass in Jesus' name. Lord God, your word says it is the strong spirit of a man that sustains him in time of trouble. Thank you, Lord God, that he is strong in the Lord and the power of his might in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your word and healed him and the woman of God of all of their dis-ease and disease in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that he is blessed with all spiritual blessings in the name of Jesus. You have blessed him, Lord God, because he is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Lord God, healing is his portion. Peace is his portion in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said if you wish above all things that we would be in good health and prosper as our soul prospers. So Lord God, I decree and declare, hallelujah, for the manifestation of his divine healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. And we send every curse word of destruction and sabotage back to every evil address in Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you now, hallelujah, that he is covered by the blood of Jesus, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that the blood of Jesus covers his home, his habitation, in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you again for reversing every attack of the enemy against your anointed in Jesus' name. I thank you for now your angels that excel in strength, that hearken unto every word that proceeded out of your mouth. Lord God, I thank you that they go forth to minister this word unto the man of God, that there will be a manifestation. You said in your word, for this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he would destroy the works of the enemy. Thank you, Father God, that every demonic work of the enemy is destroyed on behalf of your anointed prophet, hallelujah, and his queen, Crawford, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for ushering in your presence as you did with the prophet Elijah into the home of the Shunammite woman, Lord God. Hallelujah. You will usher in your presence to this man of God because the seeds of that he has sown, oh my God, today with such a clean heart, a pure heart and clean hands. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the hundredfold return, Father God. Thank you for the spirit of deliverance and healing being within their home in Jesus' name. Thank you that this is your vessel of honor in the name of Jesus, and peace and prosperity shall be within their walls. And for all that you are doing, Lord God, even all that you have already done, we are ever mindful, hallelujah, to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen, and amen. My God, we seal this prayer in the blood, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, glory to God, Prophet Michael Crawford. We bless the Lord for you. I can't wait to meet you in person and just give you a big Holy Ghost hug. Hallelujah. love you, my brother, and love Prophet Ken Jackson and what this ministry is doing, hallelujah, in the state of Georgia. I'm terrible, so yes, Lord God, it is truly a move of God, what's happening in that ministry. And I thank the Lord for your obedience again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, people of God, we bless the Lord for this Shabbat Saturday. Truly, do not doubt what God has released in your hearing on today. What are you sowing? And why are you sowing? What is the intention, the motivation of what you have sown? And I just heard the Spirit of the Lord say, you know what? In your chamber, even, what are you sowing as you go in? What are you doing during that time? The Bible tells us, yes, Holy Spirit, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen, but he will reward you openly because of what you've done in secret. And I bless the Lord again for this story because truly has touched my heart in Jesus' name in terms of what am I doing in my secret chamber in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, man of God. And truly, I believe the word released today is certainly to give us a moment of pause. You know, what are we focusing on? And what's our motivation for what we are doing in Jesus' name? The Lord bless you tremendously in Jesus' name. Well, people of God, now we want you to go forth and just Shabbat the Lord because of this awesome pour that's been given to us by Prophet Michael Crawford, and expect a great move of God in your lives during this season because of this impartation. We declare the consuming fire of the word that has been released. Let it make a change in your heart in Jesus' name. Father God, you are almighty God, all-seeing and all-knowing, and we thank you that you will fulfill your purpose, hallelujah, in our lives in Jesus' name. Again, thank you so much, Prophet Michael Crawford, man of God. You can now mute your phone in Jesus' name. And Father God, I just pray that now you just continue to fill this broadcast with your fire and your glory, that those who are under the sound of our voices now and later, even on the rebroadcast, will experience a great manifestation of your power and your presence and be filled and touch the life and nature of God within them, Father God. Touch the life and nature of God within them. I want to say thank you again, Prophet Michael Crawford, man of God, for stopping by here at Shabbat Saturday. Thank you, Dr. Timmy Kim. Thank you, Elation Radio, iHeart, Spreaker Radio, and YouTube for this platform. Thank you, God's people, and those that are listening with us right now. We pray the Lord God, will continue to bless you, continue to enlarge your borders and territories in Jesus' name. Such an awesome job, Prophet Michael Crawford, in the name of Jesus. And I just want to say, please come back and visit us. You are welcome on this platform anytime, man of God. And all of you, please come back next Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another Shabbat Saturday at this great station, Elation Radio. And thank you, Dr. Kimmy Kim, our producer. We bless the Lord for you, woman of God. May the Lord God continue to use you, great woman of God, now. Please close us out. Shalom, everyone. The Lord bless you.
Give me a heart that you made whole. I'm filled with your compassion. I'm surrounded in your loving kindness. All I need is a heart like yours. So give me a heart that lives for you. A heart to do your will. A heart that's humble and patient. Give me a heart that's soft as a whisper, able to sing.